Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We shall be finishing up Revelations. I'll be teaching today, and then Doug will wrap it up Wednesday evening. And then hopefully next Sunday we'll go into Galatians. The end part here of Revelation, the 21st and also the 22nd chapter, is a really a good summation here for the end of Revelation. He wrote the letter, and God had John write the letter for those saints that were being persecuted at this particular time, particularly by the Roman Empire. And of course, the Roman Empire was about a worldwide empire of this huge, massive empire. And so they were suffering from this, and they were going to be suffering some more. And he's revealing to them what's going to come about, that you will be some more suffering coming on, because the evil of the Roman nation is not complete yet. So he's telling what's coming about, and he's really filling in, I know, some of the answers to some of their questions is, well, how long it's going to be, and when are you going to do something other than what's going to happen to us at the end of time or something like that. And he really reveals that here in Revelation. He tells them that, yes, I will bring my judgment upon them in a matter of time. And it's going to be a very harsh judgment. Rome is going to come down, and it's going to be a very difficult time for the people of the Roman Empire. Because when his wrath becomes on him, he does it. And it's also, we've talked about what's behind the Roman Empire, which is the devil or Satan. And he had given his authority and power to the Roman Empire. And so that's the reason you see this deception, corruption, trials and tribulations, and persecutions going on in the Roman Empire. And he says that Satan will be bound and will not be able to deceive nations again for a period of time. That's that 1,000-year reign. Now, in the 21st chapter, he's describing to them what it's going to be like at the end of time. He says, now, heaven and earth shall pass away, and you have a new heaven and earth coming down. And this one, as we talk about in 3 Peter, that this one's going to place. This heaven's earth is going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. But there's a new Jerusalem place coming down. And he gives us this description. Of course, we're still using symbolic terms. And for us to understand what heaven's going to be like, it's not, here's a vision for you. Here's a picture for you to visualize how magnificent it is. But you know it's going to be much greater than what it is. But here he gives our imagination to see what a grand place this is. And you have to consider that God lives there. This is his abode. This is tabernacle, his dwelling place. And you would expect his place to be magnificent. And he talks about the city, how huge it is, and how that God will provide for us. And he continues to talk about this in the last part of the 21st and also the 22nd chapter. And he tells them how beautiful it is on the outside, and you got these 12 gates, and the gates are pearls, one large pearl, and you can see it in all the precious stones upon the walls or something, and he's describing it how it is. Now, we'll get into the 22nd verse, and we're going to talk about here. It says, but I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by the day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, he begins with me talking about, says, and I saw that there was no temple in. For the splendor of its exterior, we talk about. John directs attention now to the glory of the interior. The whole of the majestic city is one grand sanctuary. There could be, there could not be another within it, for the great God Almighty and Lamb are there. The glory of God's being and presence fills the city. Well, this is God's dwelling place. This is His temple. Remember, He first started out with the tents, then we went to the tabernacle, and then went to the temple. This was God's place upon earth. Well, this is in heaven. This is where God dwells. So this is the temple, where God and the Lamb, Christ, Jesus Christ, are there in their presence. So this is where He dwells. That's what the temple is signifying, His dwelling place. It says, in verse chapter 3, verse 12, it says, He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. So he's talking about this new Jerusalem, this place, this is where your new dwelling place is going to be. Those that have overcome, those that are mine, those that have the markers on, those that are so the glory or the pillars of the earth are going to be that way into heaven. And that's why he's talking about, this is what your dwelling place is going to be. You think about how magnificent, he's talking about how magnificent it is, how glorious it's been. But the main thing, the emphasis is, you're going to be with God, and you're going to be with the Lamb or Jesus Christ forever and ever. What more can you ask for than that? The Creator, God Supreme, you will get to live with Him. And this is, you know, from their standpoint, as they're looking at this and they're reading this book and looking at it and see what they've been going through, what they have this reward at the end. Yes, I know it's going to be a grand place. We're going to have mansions there. God's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. We're going to have the waters and the life, the tree of life. That's all grand. It's going to be, like you talk about, how magnificent, how huge it was. But the main thing is what's in the interior of that. And that's where God and Jesus is. And that's His emphasis. He says, now, you have to think about the glory here. And He's going to be talking about this. He said, now, the city has no night. Well, why would there be? There is no need for a sun or a moon. There is no created light there. When you have God and the Lamb, the source of life and the light, and he says, what are you talking about? There is not going to be no night there. Everything is going to be illuminated. It's going to be day. It's going to be bright. Now, what's the contrast of that? Right. Outer darkness. When you're awake from God, you're going to be in the dark. You're going to be at night. And it's going to be pitch black. And it's going to be torment. Because God is not present. And here, I think, is one of the great grand things about emphasizing this, God's presence in heaven. And that's where we'll be. Then he continues on in verse 24. He said, and talking about all the nations of those who are saved. The nations in the holy city are those whom the Lord called, though redeemed and made His own from among the group in the earth. And in Isaiah, it's talking about the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. And this is really kind of referring to Christ upon earth when he comes in, that they're going to be grown. Because who is Christ? Is the light. They're going to be drawn to you because you are the light. Well, he's using this and talking about the nations. Those that are saved, those that are redeemed. And he talked about, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. I think this is just synonymous. The nations, the kings, he's talking about the same thing. Those that are redeemed, those that are his, they're going to bring honor and glory with them into heaven. As we'll talk about in a few minutes, he emphasizes this again. Then he continued on and said, look, its gates shall not be shut at all by day. The gates of God's city have always been continually open for all who would enter in. All enemies have been destroyed, so that there is no need for to shut the gates like it was upon earth. We shut the gates here on earth to keep those people on the outside to protect us. You don't have to worry about that. The gates can stay open all the time. Because he has also destroyed all that are his enemies. All that can bring anything to defilement will not come in. And here's another thing he's talking about. Here's a place of security, but she shows you how secure it is. We leave the gates open.
You can do that when you're in a place where there's nothing but truth, purity, and righteousness. See, and that's what we'll be in heaven. See, we won't be fighting in heaven. We fight here. Our fights will be over then. We don't have no enemies coming in after us or anything. Nothing but purity, righteousness, and the truth is going to be there. So you don't need no gates if you live. If that was true here on earth, we wouldn't have that here. But as we've always seen, the nations will not allow that. Men will not allow that. But in heaven there will be.
Yeah, he is emphasizing that in this last section here. And I think it's very important to understand about this. This is the interior here he talked about. There's no defilement here. That's the reason it says, you know, when you go into this place, when you are there, your worries and cares are all gone. You don't have to worry about somebody stealing your stuff. You don't have to worry about somebody hurting you, harming you, whatever. Because God is going to provide for you for everything. And not only a provision thing, he's giving you security. And he says, basically says, there's no defilement. And around the heavens, ever since, there is nothing like that around God. And that's the reason those that are saved come in, bring honor and glory. Because they've been marked, they're his children. And they exemplify what he stands for, and that's righteousness, purity, holiness. And that's the reason it's going to be that way. And that's why he's emphasizing.
You know, when I read this, it goes with the lesson we have next. Another reason there won't be no gain in that is God wants everybody there. God doesn't want to exclude anything. God is God, and he wants us all there. But we can't get there if we got defiled within us, you know. But God's wish is everybody. Why? John 3:16. If anybody give his son so that we can all be there, then God wants us there. He's not going to bar us out unless we choose to do that.
Well, he was also emphasizing that, and I think he is emphasizing that here too. I think that's a very good point. But when he told the people, he said, when are you going to avenge us? And he tells them, it's not time yet. In other words, God is long-suffering, patient. I am trying to give and save as many people as I can. And their fullness of evilness has not. There are still some people that will change. There will be some people that will repent and change. And I'm going to give them time. And that's why he begs himself. That's the reason he's talking about it, like Charles said. Here's the gates has always been open for him. It's always there. But you have to understand, it's your choice. For you to come into there, you have to do what? meet these qualifications. He said, if we get down here in a few minutes with the last part, how he ends with this, none of that defilement's going to be in there. He says, it's light here, no darkness. And then he says, look, there's no evil. Pure light. Then he emphasized here, again, what he talked about in verse 24. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Those that are coming in, those of his children, those that are marked, those that are in the book of life, are going to bring glory and honor into heaven. These are his people. They have his characteristics. That's the reason they are his people. How can you tell the difference? What do you think the people of the, that serve Satan's like? They're like Satan. They're deceptive. They lie. They murder. They deceive. They kill. What does Satan do? He does all of that. But now if you're a child of God, that's not in your heart, Charles.
God is God. And that means everything is possible with God, and God knows everything. He knows it even from our thinking it a little bump before we even do it. God knows who belongs to him.
Oh, yes. Then the last part will be summed up here. It says, but there shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. The unclean are outside of the city. And you notice also, if you, here's a comparison too, because they're familiar. You and I are not familiar with walled cities. I don't know if anybody that's lived in a fort or a walled city here, but we never have. Our cities have been always open. But back then, they had walled cities for their protection of things. Well, what did they do with the refuse? Everything like that? It was outside. And that's what I'm talking about. That was unclean. It was put outside. And he's talking about the unclean will not be inside the city. The unclean are outside of the city, and not one of them is permitted to enter in it, for they have been cast away and punished. That's the reason the gates are open. He's already dealt with them, and they're in punishment. They're in the lake of fire. They're in the darkness now. But the city, clean and purified, not to be defiled. All is holiness and right. That's all that God will allow. This is with God, and that's all he's going to have. And only those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life are found here. Remember that. If you're not in the Lamb's Book, you're not going to be there. And you can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book. There has been people you know that has been blotted out. They have turned their backs to them. And can you imagine in judgment? You're in torment because you turned your back to God. You were once saved and you gave it up. You once walked the path, but you gave it up. You had salvation, but you gave it up. And you're going to think about that forever and ever while you're in torment. You're going to be thinking about, where could I have been right now? I could have been with God in the light, in bliss, and let him take care of me. And me, instead of being down here with all these people, suffering in torment, in complete darkness. That's your choice. That's what God always has. It's your choice. Anything else on the 21st chapter?
I believe in eternal life too, just like the guy right before me.
Well, you want the judgment to be righteous, and you can have nobody better than God in Christ to be your judge, because there's nobody more righteous than those two. But the same token, as we've seen, and the people of Rome see, he does have his wrath. And he means what he says. And I have given you the time and opportunity. It's your choice, not mine. It's your choice to do it. If you do it, you can have this. If you overcome these temptations, these trials, you can have a life with God. And the same token, if you reject it, then you rejected God. You have rejected paradise, is what you have done. All right. 22nd chapter. This is the last. The description of the holy city set in chapter 21 continues now through the first five verses of chapter 22. The external grandeur of the city and the internal glory made up of those who dwell in it have been presented. The blessedness of the life of that city is now revealed in the first five verses. A close relationship between these verses and the first few chapters of Genesis is readily apparent. In Eden, there was a garden, a river, the tree of life, man's disobedience and separation from these, a curse pronounced on the serpent, the soil, and indirectly upon man, for it brought death and separation from God. Now, in the city of God, the internal Eden of the redeemed, there is the river of water of life, the tree of life, the absence of a curse, and a perfect and full fellowship of the redeemed with God. What was lost in Eden is now fully restored. God's purpose is achieved. And when you see this, we read about this thing, you'll think about how that is very similar to what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. How what paradise was upon earth for a short term. Perhaps we have a greater appreciation of these last few chapters of Revelation if we review them as the last pages of the Bible message, rather than only the last or final chapters of Revelation. In these chapters, we see more than a triumph over Rome. In these chapters, we see the triumph over the power behind Rome, Satan, the devil, a power which has troubled, tempted, and destroyed the goodness of God's creation, since it was permitted to roam this earth. That's the reason I think the last two chapters of Revelation is a very good ending, not only to Revelation, but to the whole Bible. Because now you can see the end results. If you overcome, if you stay faithful, you can see what your bliss that you can have. And it makes the trials and the temptations a whole lot easier. And when you are depressed, you're under trial and tribulation, this is a very good passage just to look at and read. All right, let's look at it now. Verse 1, 22nd chapter. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right. The river of water of life that sustains life in its fullness, the sparkling purity and beauty of the stream, It has to be. Why? The source of the river proceeds from the throne of God and the Lamb, the fountainhead of all life. John's vision of the river is similar to that of Ezekiel. And there's some difference. Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The message of the Old Testament prophets looked to the spiritual kingdom under the Messiah. But John's vision now points to the consummation of that kingdom in heaven. And now he's going to show you how the similarities, way we drive it into Ezekiel, about the Messiah coming, how the life is coming and thing, but now he's going to give it to you and show it to you. Basically, we're looking at the end of time when judgment's here and we can be with heaven, with God. And he describes it here. Now, did y'all have difficulty with verse 2 to comprehend it? Did y'all look at it? Took me a minute to, huh?
I have problems with everything.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what.
What I do is try to take it as a whole. He's given us a future glorious glimpse of what you mean. I don't try to dot every I. If you do, you're going to be there chasing people all the time.
Well, Charles, I am going to enlighten you right now. I am going to paint you a picture that you will understand what a beautiful place this is going to be. This is going to be. It's very difficult until you catch a hang of it. Then once you see the hang of it, it's not so bad. The picture is difficult to visualize. Why? You got a middle of a street, and you got a river, and you got a tree, and it bears 12 fruit. What's going on here? But it seems that in the midst of the streets, viewed collectively as one. If you look at it, he's not talking about one tree or one street. He's all talking about streets and trees. And you'll see, he's just using a unity. Using one, showing, representing many. And if you do it that way, you will see the tree of life, singular on either side of the river. In that case, the tree is used collectively as it's in the street. The vision pictures what it is a beautiful park with golden streets, rivers of crystal pure water flowing through it, and banks and avenues lined with trees for fruit and leaves for healing. But, of course, the whole picture is symbolism. So the picture, he's using one tree, one street. But that's not what it is, basically. That's a unity. He's represented that as trees and streets. And if you look at it from that standpoint, it makes beautiful sense. You have this water of life going through. And you got this tree of life. But there are trees of life on each side of the bank. And what's so new about this, it's talked about here, yielding its fruit every month. It's always in season. It's always there for you. The tree of life. This river, Parkinson, is there for you. He's painting a picture for you to see, and you can put your imagination, and you look at it and say, man, that is a beautiful scene for heaven. That you have the tree of life that's always yielding its fruits. And also, it's talking about the leaves for healing. Can you imagine? We're going to be healed there. There will not be any suffering. There will not be any pain. And that's what you're talking about. You partake of the tree of life. This tree of life is forever. Of course, we don't. That's not going to be. This is symbolism. But it's representing forever and ever and ever. You partake of this water. See, we have to have food and water for us to sustain our lives. And he's telling you, it's going to be provided for you. You're going to have taken care of. I will take care of you. That's what he's telling you. It is a beautiful picture of God providing for you and me. That's what he's doing. There's not going to be any need whatever.
You know, Charles? It kind of showed me a little bit about the Garden of Eden. I wasn't there. Brady was, but I wasn't there. You know, before sin came in,
yeah.
How God invented, well, heaven's going to be like that without sin, too, you know. And try to reciprocate with you and light you a little bit too, you know, since you've been so nice to me.
If you go back and look at the Genesis, isn't that not when he created Eden? Everything he created was good. Remember that? And that, where do you think he put man? In paradise. Everything was good. They were provided for. For us, all we know, we had that one commandment. Do not. Do not. Just one. Everything else. You have everything else provided for you. Everything's taken care of. But don't do this. And once they did, what did he tell them? You shall surely die. And they did. They died. Now, what he's telling you now is that garden, how beautiful it was that I put on, it's not here. Remember, he blocked it off. They could not get back in. But this new Jerusalem thing is going to be that way. It will be paradise. I will provide for you like I provided for them. I took care of them. Now, you will be taken care of. Just like that. And they're familiar with that story. They know how it was. But they know also that Satan brought sin in. They understand that. Now, to get back to the paradise, you got to get yourself away from Satan. You separate yourself away from Satan and you follow God and you can get back to paradise. This is what he's telling you. This is what it's going to be. I shall take care of you. And he continues on in verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. All that is subject to the curse in time will be abolished in the heavenly city. For the throne of God and the Lamb is in the midst of it. And nothing that curse can abide in the presence of that throne is obstacle. In that glorious state, his servants will serve him with a perfect service. And his servants will serve him. That's all I'm asking for, God. I'll be tickled to death, be your servant forever and ever and ever. Because you already told me how you treat your servants. How did the prodigal son think of coming in mind and said, why am I doing this when I can go and be a servant to my dad and I can have everything? And that's why he's telling you. You be in service to me, and I will take care of you. That's what it's going to be. Anything else?
The master enjoys the company of his servants.
Yes, very much so. And he wants us there. And he's got it prepared. Christ is gone. He said, look, I've gone down to prepare it for you. You don't have to worry about it. Everything's taken care of. Now we need to do our part. Time's up. We'll begin in about verse 4. Thank you. Hey, Charles. There's a problem with the PowerPoint.
There's what?
There's a problem with the PowerPoint. You can't put anything in there. Blank street. Once we move it over there, insert, we can't do anything.
Well, how come?
Well, it says that the PowerPoint, its subscription's out.
Prescription's out.
Yep, that's what it says.
We need to renew it.
I guess, but that's it. So you're going to have to do it, I guess.
That's sad.
Through the songs.
For the book?
Yeah, that's fine. Because you remember, you cannot, it'll stay up there.
We just couldn't put mine in here and put a desktop and me flip over on desktop on it.
Yeah, you can
have it with us.
Yeah, you can do that.
Won't I do that? Since he's not going to use the song.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you.
Go ahead and use the desktop.
Yes.
He's not going. He's going to use the songbook, so I don't have to worry about punching it. He can't get.
I'll move it up there. Wait a minute.
One I want, Dale, is. True Story, someplace on here. I think is what the name of it is.
Right there, True Story.
True Story. Just put desktop.
Okay.
When I...
Okay.
True Story.
All right, let me do this. Take this out. Now,
I can go told Turkey about this.
No, you can. What, you mean leave it up or you mean put it up? Pull it up.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. See?
Pull it up. I ain't got about four or five.
See, here's the problem. Couldn't buy a prior subscription.
All right.
So, but you can go ahead and use it, but you can't put, yeah. Add, see, you can't add anything to it.
So you just, he's not going to use selling. So what we do just buy. Put B, black this out, then when I come, I put B and I do that.
Yeah, I go
well,
ahead.
I can go up here and see.
Well,
go
no, it's down. It's
view,
down. I used to hear it down here.
Oh.
Okay. And B.
There okay. You go. Okay. And
that's
when,
your next one coming up, right?
All right? When I get up there, I want that, one.
Hit that down
I want
button.
That first one up there. Okay. True story.
To the,
that's what that, I like to have come up.
Okay, that's what it is.
So what did I do?
You hit B.
All right. Now, to bring the other one up, what did I do?
Hit down arrow.
Down arrow. And he won't be doing the song.
No. So that's it. And hit
we
B.
Just leave it here, and I'll just go from down here then.
You want here, or you can go up there?
No, I can go down here.
That's fine.
It's whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I'm just going to leave it
I
B.
Can improvise. I figured this thing would be working when I go over.
Well, we came in, and... Well, I don't know.
Doug Bruce likes to go from songbook anyway.
Hey, I never used one of these, so I come over here.
Yeah. I don't like it. Come over here.
It's timing it. It's going to time out on you.
Yeah. So it ain't going to work.
No, it will, but you just have to.
Have to what?
Well, if
we
it. Okay, no. Yeah, can it, if it does that, all you have to do. Is bring it back down and just click it again.
Click it again.
Yeah, we'll just start it from fresh.
Right.
See?
Right.
Cancel this. But
what
if you're having problems, I'm not here tonight.
I wish I were here. Are you leaving saying good
night? No, he's following me down to.
Oh, that's right. I'm riding with you.
Yeah, don't you remember?
I'm not going to say anything to him.
That's just only 30 minutes ago, Charles. You forgot already?
I'm not going to say anything to him because I don't want to have to play.
All right.
So you think the time would be up? Well, again, I'll have to go through an access out.
If you do, just let me and I'll come up and do it. I'll take care of it. I've done
it. Will
see.
Be.
It see, I do that every. I do it every time I come up here. It does that,
yeah.
And I have to start it again every time. That's what the thing is. It times out on.
Thank you.
at 4:10 now, Dale. How far will it go? Huh?
I think your best thing to do is just to go ahead and get out of it, personally.
When's the next elders meeting?
Next week, is it?
No, it's the...
Will you be back here next week?
Yeah.
I thought you said the men's meeting was the same day.
Yeah.
It is. I didn't have anything to do with it. All kinds of great little stuff.
I don't know. Is it the 23rd, I think? Or is it the 16th?
I'm just asking you to do what I've asked you for. Give this to Doug and get us a real computer.
Well, what's the problem with NES right now today? The subscription to PowerPoint is out. And that's the reason we cannot, when you put your song service in and you add it to it, you can't change it.
I have never bought a subscription to my PowerPoint.
Huh?
I've always bought.
I never did.
I never did a subscription.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is now. No, it's
just not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's This is Office 365.
But I didn't buy that. You can still buy Office Suite.
Yeah. No, and we didn't. This is.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you talk about it?
But you know, there's been one problem after another with this computer. We need something that is reliable.
I need something simpler.
Right. Just go ahead and bring it up from here.
Bring it up from there?
Yeah.
I just what? Punch up.
Yeah. You sit in there?
Just bring it up from the desktop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you cancel that out.
You say I go down here to view it?
Yeah, see right here. That little cup?
Yeah. I'll view it down there.
And you do it that way.
And it's down there each time.
Yeah. But see, that's the problem. It counts it, so you'll time out by then.
Our prescription is gone on PowerPoint. The reason we can't use it now.
The subscription.
Yep.
Couldn't verify subscription. This is 365. This is subscription. You can look at it and see.
It won't go on there. Our subscription to PowerPoint is gone. We didn't renew it, yes.
Why not?
I didn't know it looked to them just a few minutes ago. Don't know anything about it. Don't be going on. I got it situated in my mind how I'm on.
So what we need to do is connect this thing to the internet. So, hey, so I need to close this out for you?
Just black it out. You want to? That'd be all right.
Okay.
Are you doing the announcement now, Johnson? You getting ready to do the announcement now? Thank you.